Morning, everyone. Again, with the deep appreciation for the Lupin Foundation, Michael Nestu Lupin, on the sponsorship of the DAF in memory of Lois Lupin Salzman. Today's DAF is DAF Nches in Yuma. We are at the two dots on Nunzayin Amud Beis, and we are continuing a discussion in the Gemara regarding the third Hazah. First Hazah is done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Second Hazah is done when he exits the Kodesh HaKadoshim, goes into the Heichal, and he sprinkles in the direction of the parochus. And the third hazah is done on the Mizbech HaZahav. Today on the Amud Beis, we're going to get to the sprinkling of the Mizbech HaZahav. Well, what have we seen already? The Torah speaks with clarity in terms of how the sprinkling is done in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Right? Now, it doesn't give us all the details, but basically when we look at the sprinkling of the blood of the bull and the sprinkling of the blood of the goat, there's a couple of blanks, but the Torah basically allows us to fill in the blanks. So for the blood of the bull, so we sprinkle, we go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkle Achas Lamala, one above, and Sheva Lamata and seven below. Again, Lamala, Lamata, as we already learned a couple days ago in the Daf, doesn't literally mean up top versus below, it just simply means the direction of your hand. So for the first Hazah, your hand's going to be facing up, and you're going to go Lamala, and then for the next seven, it's going to be Lamata with your hands going down, and you're going to basically moving in a downward direction. Those are the differences between the Lamala and Lamata. You do that with the first, you take the blood of the bull, and you go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and you sprinkle Ach Lamala v'Sheva Lamata. Again, where is it going to land? So as we already learned, it's not going to land on the Aron, although in the second base of Mikdash there was no Aron, but even if there was, it's not going to land on the Aron, it's going to land in front of the Aron. So that essentially what the Kohen Gadol wants to do is he basically create a line of eight drops of blood, one next to the other, next to the other, with each successive drop getting closer to him. That's the sprinkling of the Dama part. Then what happens is he runs outside into the Azar, he goes out to the temple courtyard, he shechs the Seir, the goat, and he collects the blood, and he goes back inside with the Dama Seir to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he does the sprinkling of the Dama Seir. Achas Lamala v'Sheva Lamata. Okay. Then he goes out into the Heichal, and one stand in the Heichal, two stands in the Heichal in order to hold the blood. Remember, that was Machlokas Tanaim. And then he would do, again, the applications in the direction of the parochus. He would be standing in the Heichal. He's facing the actual parochus, which means that he's westbound. He's facing in a western orientation. And again, with the blood of the bull, Achas Lamala v'Sheva Lamata. Then with the blood of the goat, Achas Lamala v'Sheva Lamata. Did it actually hit the parochus? So remember, that's a machlokus. Right? And an interesting machlokus, because the Gemara noted that well, Atana went to Rome and saw the parochus in Rome, and it had blood stains on it, and empirical evidence that, in fact, it did hit the parochus. Whether or not that everyone agrees to that, that we point out, a couple days ago, that's subject to a machlokus. Okay, and then there's going to be a third hazah, and which we're about to discuss right now in the Gemara. Now, the third hazah, the Torah, speaking of which... So the Torah itself is not 100% clear how it's sprinkled, meaning we know that the blood of the bull and the blood of the goat is sprinkled. That little we know. But here's subject for discussion in the debate, and we're about to see the debate right now in the Gemara. Is the two bloods going to get mixed together, or are they going to be sprinkled separately? So first things first, I'll read to you from the Torah, and let's see if we could see from the Torah whether or not together or separate. So we are in Achrei Mos. Of course, that's where we've been now for the past 2 months. So we're in Achrei Mos, and okay, v'chiper lakosh mitumos bnei Yisrael. That's pasuk tes Zion. V'chein yaseh lo ol moed. That's still pasuk tes Zion. V'soch tumasam. Right, we darshan that pasuk yesterday. V'chol adam lo yeh ba'ol moed b'vol lechaper b'kosh atzisov v'chiper bado v'al beisov v'al kol ka Yisrael. Okay, v'yatzai. Here we go. Yudches. No. Now he goes to the Mizbech Lifnei Hashem. In other words, there's two Mizbechs. There's the outer Mizbech, the Mizbech HaChitzon, also known as Mizbech Adama. And then there's the inner Mizbech. The inner Mizbech is Mizbech HaZahav. That's what the Torah is describing because it says Lifnei Hashem. So, V'yatzal Mizbech HaShelifnei Hashem V'chiper Alav L'kach Midam HaPar U'Midam HaSeir. And what he does is he takes the blood of the bull and the blood of the goat. V'nasan HaKarnas HaMizbech Saviv, and he puts it on the corners of the Mizbech surrounding the Mizbech. Okay? What do you think? Together or separate? Okay. Shoulder shrug is totally appropriate because really not clear. In other words, I'll tell you this though. In other words, the Gemara is not going to make this point, but the Torah does say v'lakach. It's singular. Okay. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see exactly how the how this discussion plays out in the Gemara. We're again starting on in Zayin Amud Beis, and we're at the two dots. Right. Okay. Fair. Iridama par l'toch damastir. Now, yeah, that was singular. Okay, very good. All right. First of all, our Mishnah. Our Mishnah takes a very clear position. If you go back to our Mishnah, and the Mishnah is describing what happens. What happens, says the Mishnah, is that the bloods get mixed together. So, from our Mishnah standpoint, it's clear that after you sprinkle the dam and the seer separately onto the paroches, so our Mishnah says mix it. And by the way, not only does our Mishnah say mix it, our Mishnah says mix it well. Make sure you do a good job mixing it. If you look all the way back to the Mishnah on Gimel Amud Beis, we're still on that Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Ira dama parasoch dama seer." You mix the blood of the bull into the blood of the goat. V'nasan esamale berekan. And then the Mishnah ends off by saying, "And then what do? Mix it again." In other words, take the combined bloods of the bull and the goat and pour back into the empty cup. What are you doing by doing that? Mixing it well. Okay, it's like preparing a drink. So the Gemara starts off, "Ira dama parasoch dama seer." Tana keman dama ma'arvin lekarnos. So the Gemara notes, our Mishnah is of the opinion that Marv and Lekarnos said we mix it up in order to apply to the corners of the Mizbech. Di Itmar. Okay, the word Itmar over here is a little bit strange, to be honest with you, because it's a technical point, but Itmar usually introduces a machlokus amongst the Amoraim. We're not going to do that right now. We're going to mention a machlokus amongst the Tanayim. So Itmar is a little bit strange. Tosus Yishonim points it out. Okay, anyway. Rabbi Yoshi, Rabbi Yonasan, Chalamar Marvin, Chalamar Ein Marvin. So one opinion is that we mix, and one opinion is that we don't mix. Now, you know how the Gemara works right now. The Gemara is telling us a machlokas, but the Gemara is not identifying who says what. So tistaim de Rav Yoshia, hu da amar ma'arvin. So I think, says the Gemara, it's logical to conclude that Rav Yoshia says that we mix it up. Da amar afagav de loksiv yachtav, kaman dichsiv yachtav dami. Because Rav Yoshia says, even though the Torah doesn't say the word yachtav, but it's ki'ilu, it's as if the Torah says the word yachtav. Okay, now what's going on over here? What's the Gemara referencing? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Gemara in Sanhedrin is discussing the issue in the Torah of cursing your parents. One's not allowed to curse their parents, one's not allowed to hit their parents. These are capital offenses. If you curse your parents or if you hit your parents, hitting your parents, you have to make a maki, you have to make a wound in order for it to be a capital offense. But either way, they're both capital offenses, and the Torah describes like this, Ish isha shei kalal es aviv ve'es imo. So the Torah says that if a person were to curse his father and his mother, so he's subject to the death penalty. Now, does that mean he has to curse both of them in order to be subject to the death penalty? So the Gemara says, "Ainli alaviv v'imo." Well, from the Torah, it sounds like yes, you have to curse both of them. So aviv below imo, imo below aviv minayin. How do I know that if he just curses one of the two, he's subject to the death penalty? So Rashi brings, again, Rashi's quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Tamalomer, aviv kilel, imo kilel, divrav Yoshia. So then, but then the Torah goes on to repeat. The Torah says, aviv kilel, imo kilel. Meaning that the Torah uses now extraneous words. Those extraneous words are there to tell us that even if he curses each one of them individually, he's subject to the death penalty. That is the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia. Okay. Rabbi Yonasan Omer, mashma shneim kechon, mashma kol echa ve'echa bifnei atmo. And Rabbi Yonasan says, no. Even though there's a vav joining the two, that doesn't mean they have to be together. It means either or and or. I mean, you curse your mother, you curse your father, or, in other words, the vav in the middle could also mean you curse your mother, your father, or you curse your mother. Ashifar l'cha kasav yachtav. How do I know that they have to come in a package deal? The Torah has to go out of its way to say yachtav. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yonasan. So Rabbi Yonasan basically assumes that when the Torah is giving us a vav joiner from one to the next, I don't assume a union unless the Torah says the word yachtav. Amar l'Rav Yoshia yilo haduk siv aviv imo kilel hava min ereshit dekrash neim ke'echad. Mashma. So the Gemara says, so what do you see over here? That the positions of Rabbi Yoshia and Rabbi Yonasan are pretty clear. Rabbi Yoshia says that even without the word yachtav, we assume that the vav joins and the vav creates a package deal. That it has to be this and this. So that's true by, again, when it comes to cursing mother and father, we're all going to agree that it could be either one of them. It's just a question of why. According to Rabbi Yoshia, the reason why is because the Torah then goes on to repeat again, Imo Kilel, Aviv Kilel. And according to Rav Yonasan, no, it's from the simple fact that the Torah doesn't say the word Yachtav. Okay, now let's take that principle and apply it elsewhere. So here we have the Torah telling us that I have to sprinkle the blood of the bull and the goat. There's a vav that joins the two. So is that a package deal or is that not a package deal? So again, now we'll just simply take the respective shitas. According to Rav Yonasan, does the Torah say the word Yachtav? No. So if the Torah doesn't say Yachtav, so that means either or. According to Rav Yoshia, it doesn't matter. Once there's a vav automatically creates a package deal. Mashma hachanami, midama par umidama seir. Shnem kechan mashma. So over here, according to Rav Yoshia, it's a package deal. Good. That's where the Gemara is laying it out now. So again, what do we know? We know that there's a machlokas tanaim, whether or not the two bloods have to be combined together or not. We know our Mishnah takes the position that it has to be combined. Our Mishnah says so. But what we don't know is who says what. So the Gemara says, look, it's logical. Meaning, once I know that Gemara is Sanhedrin, so then I'm just going to plug it in over here. Over here, the Torah does not say the word Yachtav. According to Rav Yonasan, that's significant. According to Rav Yoshi, it's not significant. So the Gemara says, Tistayim. So we should therefore conclude, Rav Yoshi, Hudamar Marvin. Rav Yoshi says that the Torah doesn't have to say the word Yachtav. The Vav by itself already creates a union between the two. The Amar Afagab, the Luxiv Yachtav, Kaman Dichsiv Yachtav Dami. That according to Rav Yoshia, even though the Torah doesn't say the Yachtav, it's Ki'ilu. Okay, so that's how the Gemara is setting it up. It's a great Havamina. The Gemara tries for a moment to deflect the Havamina. Afilu Tamer Rav Yonasan, who? Maybe you can argue that no. Over here, Rav Yonasan also would say that the two bloods have to get mixed together. Shani Hacha Dichsiv Achas. And why? In other words, the Torah doesn't say the word Yachtav. You're right, the Torah doesn't say the word Yachtav, but elsewhere the Torah says Achas. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Tetzaveh. The pasuk says, "V'chiper Aaron al karnosav achas b'shana," one time a year, achas b'shana. So achas b'shana. Now it happens to be that again, simple pshat the pasuk is one time a year. But what the Gemara is suggesting is that according to Rav Yonasan, it also speaks to the idea that the two bloods are going to be mixed together. We get that from the word achas. Okay, so the Gemara is deflecting. Now, even though the Gemara deflected, the Gemara comes right back to the Havamina. It's more than just a Havamina. The Gemara says, Tanya, the Lokishinuyan. We have a Braisa, not like the deflection we just saw, but the Braisa here reflects the original thought process, where that Rav Yoshi and Rav Yonasan are going to stand on party lines, whether or not the Torah says Yachtav. So the Gemara says, Lakach midama par midama sir, shiyumu ravin de Rav Yoshi. Rav Yoshi says the two bloods get mixed together. Why? Because according to Rav Yoshi, the Torah doesn't have to say the word Yachtav. The fact that there's a vav by itself indicates that they are joined together. Rav Yonasan omer, mizeb ifne atzmo. And Rav Yonasan says, no, each one individually. So amala Rav Yoshi velok far namar achas. Rav Yoshi says, yeah, but the Torah says the word achas, meaning going back to the Pasha Tetzaveh. So, Amalo Rav Yonasan, Valok Far Nemar, Midama Par Umidama Seir. So Rav Yonasan, in his defense, says, no, it says Midama Par Umidama Seir, meaning each one individually. The Torah doesn't say the word Yachtav. Imke Lama Nemar Achas, and why does the Torah say Achas? Amacha Achas Valok Shtayim. So it tells us once and not twice, meaning that I do each one of them once, but I don't do each one of them twice. Midama par achas veloshtaim midamasir. I'm sorry, veloshtaim midamasir. In other words, each one of them once and not twice from damasir. Okay, so in other words, again, so we have a brisa, and the brisa is very clear that according to Rabbi Yoshia, the two bloods get mixed together. Again, this is Rabbi Yoshia l'shitaso, because Rabbi Yoshia does not need the word yachtav to unify, even though as long as you have a vav, the vav is a joiner. And it puts the two together. That means I have to combine the two together. Mashenkin, according to Rav Yonasan, no. I only put it together if the Torah says the word Yachtav. If the Torah does not say the word Yachtav, I don't put them together. Fine. So that's the Braisa. Clearly, like we originally thought, very good. Just one point over here to go over. According to Rav Yonasan, how does it work? Meaning when there's a Vav and there's no Yachtav. So what does it mean? According to Rav Yonasan, it means it could be both together, or it could be both separately. So Tosfos is bothered by a very simple question. Well, according to Rav Yonasan, so how come, who determined? Meaning over here, the Vav, without the word Yachtav, can go one of either direction. It can mean each separately, or it can mean together. So Tosfos is bothered. So over here, why, according to Rav Yonasan? According to Rav Yoshia, we understand. Rav Yoshia doesn't need the word Yachtav. the vav by itself joins. But according to Rav Yonasan, without the word yachzav, it could go either way. So why not assume that they're done together? Why separately? That's Tosfos' question, but Tosfos offers a very simple answer, because what have we been doing up until this point in time? Meaning, when we went to the Kodesh HaKadoshim, separate or together? Separate. When we did the Parocha, separate or together? Separate. So basically, it's like a Mematzinu, meaning, I know I could have gone either way, but Hazar number one was separate, Hazar number two is separate, so I'm going to assume that Hazar number three, if given the choice, which according to Rav Yonasan, we do have a choice, if given the choice, we're also going to be separate. That's how Tosfos' response to his own question. In the meantime, however, we're going to go on in the Gemara, Tanya Idach, we learned another Braisa. We are in Nunches Amud Aleph. We are about 8 lines from the top of the Amud. They have to be mixed together, says this Braisa. Obviously, this Braisa goes like our Mishnah. It goes like Rabbi Yoshia. They have to be mixed together. So the Torah says the word achas. Achas tells us that they're mixed together. Stomach of Rav Yoshia. We have a Stam Braisa. The Stam Braisa goes like Rav Yoshia. Our Mishnah goes like Rav Yoshia. It's fair to say the halacha is like Rav Yoshia. That when the when we get to the third sprinkling, which is on the mizbech, the bloods are going to get mixed together. Okay. Nasan esamale berekan. Okay. What does our Mishnah say? We're going to pour. In other words, we do two pourings. Meaning we pour from the blood of the bull into the blood of the goat. Sorry, I just want to make sure that I'm right in my order. We pour from the blood of the bull into the blood of the goat. Right? Ostensibly, the blood of the bull is going to have a lot more blood in it. So it's heavier. It's maybe it'll mix better. I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know if I'm right. But anyway, and then, says the Mishnah, we go back and we pour that mixture back into the first cup. And as the Gemara is about to explain, just so it gets mixed well. Okay, the Gemara, by Mine Rami Bar Chama Me Rav Chista. Gemara is going to ask a question which will seem to be unrelated to our discussion, but you'll see the connection in just a moment. Hinich Mizrach B'toch Mizrach, V'kiba Bo'os Adam. Rashi points out this is a very generic issue, but we're going to use our Mishnah to try to determine. There's an idea, it's more than an idea, it's an avod of Kabbalah Adam. You have to accept the blood. So what standard procedure means, I hold a cup, I stand right next to the neck of the animal, and I'm a kabel, and I receive the blood in the bowl. Good. We know time and again that anytime there's any type of avoda that's done, there cannot be any chatzitza, there cannot be any type of separation, interposition between my hand and the kli that I have to be touching. It's true regarding the kli, as we'll see in just a moment, it's true regarding the floor of the Beis HaMikdash, feet to floor, hand to kli, and there could be no chatzitza, there could not be a separation. Wonders the Gemara, what if I put one kli within another kli? Okay, I double kli it. Okay, Doha?
No, is that a chatzitza?
Yeah. So the question now on the table is going to be, is that considered a chatzitza? Yes or no? So that's the Gemara's question. Now it's a generic question, meaning this is not necessarily related to Yom Kippur. This is true by any time that the Kohen is doing Kabbalah Sadam. If I put one bowl inside of another bowl, and I accept the blood, mahu, what would be the halacha? Min b'mina chotzeitz. So is a chatzitza now? Chatzitza usually means that I have foreign material separating me and the kli sharis. It's not really foreign material, just another kli sharis. Oh, ain't a chotzeitz, so maybe it won't serve as a chatzitza because here it's min b'mina. I'm related to Nisua. So he says, I think I know the answer. Nasana samale berekan. Now you see what the Gemara just did over here? Understood the Mishnah, not the way I explained it. Right now, what the Gemara thinks is that what the Mishnah means is, nasana samale, you take the full cup of blood, the one that was mixed both with the blood of the goat and the blood of the bull, and I insert that cup into the other cup. That's right now what the Gemara thinks is the Pshan, the Mishnah. Right, correct. Where the bowl blood was, it's an empty cup now. It's an empty bowl. So I put the full bowl into the empty bowl, and I'm holding it, and that would reflect that it's not a chatzitza. So my love, Hoshiv Mizrak, Malay Lasoch Mizrak Reikan, isn't that the Pshan the Mishnah? And the Gemara says, no, that's not the Pshan the Mishnah. Lo, Ira Mizrak, Malay Lasoch Mizrak Reikan. The Gemara says, no, the Pshat is what I offered in the Mishnah, which that's the correct Pshat. So how tanale reisha ira dama palasoch dama seir? I'm sorry, the dama seir. Yeah, but didn't the Mishnah already make that point? Didn't we pour from the bowl of the blood into the bowl of the goat? So the Gemara says yes, we did. But kedel arfen, arfen, yafa, yafa. But we're going to pour back into the empty bowl so that it mixes really well. We want a nice, even distribution of the two bloods, so that second pouring is going to create a more even distribution. That's all. That's the pshat in the Mishnah. So can our Mishnah answer the question of chatzitza? No. Our Mishnah's not talking about chatzitza. Tashma. So the Gemara is... doesn't say. I mean, he does have a stand there, so he can put the empty bowl in the stand. Tashma. Haya omen agabe keli o agabe rego chavero. Puzzle. Kohen doing the avoda. So again, feet the floor. As Rashi points out, the floor also has kedusha. The floor, just like your hand has to be on the kli, so too your feet have to be on the floor. Right? Kohen walked around barefoot. That's not an option. It's part of the avoda. What if you stand on someone else's foot? Right? Really cold floor. I don't want to stand on the floor itself. Here, do me a favor. You, Kohen, come here. Stand right there. I'm going to stand on your feet. Good or no good? So the Mishnah says, no good. Pasul, it's no good. Or if you're standing on top of a kli, also no good. So the Gemara says, but what do you see? In other words, that's a classic case of min bimino, meaning I'm not standing, okay, granted, I'm not standing on top of a mat or a rug. I'm standing on somebody's foot. So my foot is on top of someone else's foot. So the only thing separating me and the floor right now is someone else's foot, but that's min bimino. So the Gemara says, so what? And the Mishnah speaks very clearly. That's going to be no good. That's possible. So Shani Rego de lo matzi mevatale. The Gemara says, yeah, but I'll tell you why that's a chatzitza. Meaning it could be that in general, min bimino is not a chatzitza. But in this case, it would serve as a chatzitza. And why would that be? Because you can't be mevatal somebody's foot. Meaning, not only do I want you to keep have your foot here, but keep it here. That's not going to be possible. That's not going to be feasible. So the Gemara says that's not going to be a. In this case, it won't be good. But in general, min bimino may in fact be a. Min bimino may not be a chatzitza.
Standing on snow,
I guess. In other words, generally speaking, liquid doesn't serve as a chatzitza. Generally speaking, in other words, we know when you go into a mikvah. And let's say you have a drop of liquid on you. That doesn't serve as a chatzitza. I don't know. Anyway, just one thing before we move forward. Toast. What comes out from our Gemara? Meaning, what was our Gemara entertaining? The only issue that our Gemara was entertaining was min bimino, whether it is or it isn't a chatzitza. But what's clear from our Gemara, if it's min b'she'eno mino, in other words, if I'm using a foreign object or foreign item separating me and what I need to be holding, so that would be a chatzitza. It's clear from our Gemara, if our Gemara is just discussing min b'mino and going back and forth and vacillating, clearly min b'she'eno mino serves as a chatzitza. Tosfos makes this point. Take a look at the second Tosfos on the Amud. Avasheno mino pshita dechotze. It's good. So if I'm holding a foreign item, so for sure will be a chatzitza. V'lokari be'v'lakach. And you're not satisfying the obligation of the Torah of lakicha. Lakicha means hand on the item. And if it's something foreign as an interposition, no good. That clearly no good. So Tosfos is bothered. Skip now another four lines in the Tosfos. Tosfos is bothered by the following. Where else do we have to do a lakicha? This is very relevant halach lamasa. So we have it by lulav. The Torah says, by lulav, ukachta machem b'yam rishon, creates adar, kapos tamarim. The Torah tells us that we have to take a lulav. And the terminology the Torah uses is lakicha. So that means that the lulav has to be held in your hand. Okay. So now, we have a lulav holder, right? Some don't. Right? Sfardim, lulav holder? Depends. Okay. Now the lulav holder we have isn't really much of a discussion because it's right. It's min bimino, meaning right. The lulav holder that we have is standard, made out of fronds, made out of palm fronds. So that's fine. But Tosfos points out the Gemara in Sukkah. Let's see the Tosfos inside the Tema. It's not four lines down, even less. It's the second line down. The Tema Tosfos says. The beperek lulav agazel quotes the third parak of Sukkah. Maskin d'lakichai de davar achrish malakicha. That even if I have something else separating my hand and the lulav, that's okay. That's the Gemara's conclusion in Sukkah, in the third parak of Sukkah. So now one only has to wonder, I don't get it, says Tosfos. Our Gemara, it's clear from our Gemara that min b'she'eino mino is considered a chatzitza. And meanwhile, the Gemara in Sukkah says that if I have something foreign separating my hand and the lulav, that's fine. How does that work? So Tosfos gives a distinction. I'll read it. I'll stay over the distinction, and then we're going to have to understand it better. Although I don't know if I'm equipped to do so, but I'll read it anyway. So Tosfos says that in the case of lulav, I'm basically using the handkerchief as a holder for the lulav. So as long as it's there to facilitate the lulav, and its purpose is to hold the lulav, so that's fine. That qualifies as a lakicha. But if you wrap your hand in the sudar, v'tofes alulav, kach lo shma lakicha. And then after wrapping my hands, then I hold the lulav, that's no good. Everyone following? Meaning, Tosfos's distinction is that we're talking about Mishen Bein Amino. All right, so let's take a handkerchief. So if I wrap the lulav with my handkerchief, and now the handkerchief serves as a holder for the lulav, fine. That's the Gemara in Sukkah. That will basically be not a chatzitza. That's considered a holder for the lulav, and I fulfilled the mitzvah in the Torah of Lakach. Lakachtem lachem.
The other case, you're serving your hands.
But, right, if I wrap my hand up with a handkerchief and I hold, so that's no good. Why? Because that's a chatzitza. That's how Tosfos understands the distinction between our Gemara and the Gemara in Sukkah.
Right.
Glove would fall under the category of serving your hand, and that would be a chatzitza. Right, holding with the glove would be a chatzitza.
Can you say that the handkerchief is portal to the sukkah?
Yeah, maybe. You could say it.
So this is not.
I don't know, whatever. It's hard. It's difficult. It's certainly difficult. I don't know. I'm not sure. By washing hands, it's not for men. right, correct. But in other words, it's a miyut that's here. You're not. Doesn't bother you. You know, makpid. But for the for women, they are makpid. So they do have to take it off before washing hands. But that's okay. I don't know. Anyway. But just I'm really focusing more on this distinction that Tosfos is creating, the difference between whether or not it's serving the lulav or it's serving your hand. Serving the lulav, that's fine. Serving your hand, that's not fine. And I'm not saying I understand, but you have to create some sort of distinction between our Gemara here in Yuma, Daf Ninches, and the Gemara in Sukkah. Okay, so that's Tosfos's distinction. Obviously,
you know, the second cup serves the...
Yeah, he goes on. He goes on to discuss that. Right. In other words, in the Gemara's question of kli b'tol kli, is it there to facilitate the kli or is it there to facilitate your hand?
Right.
Tosfos goes on to discuss that. That's a very good point. Okay, we're going back to the Gemara where on and Chesamad Aleph, Ika Damri, slightly different version of how the question and answer went. Hachi bai minei. This was the question, meaning this in the second version. The question was not a question of chatzitza, but it was a question of sheiros. Right, we have to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So, what's the definition of service? Derech sheres bekach and derech sheres bekach. If I put one kli inside of another kli, can we call that service? Yes or no? So, Tashma de Tan de Beir Rav Shmos called kli asharos asheri shasu bam bakodesh. So the Gemara says yes, that's considered service. How do I know that? How does this pasuk indicate that? Because the Torah says called kli hashares. Kli is plural, so let's assume it's two. Asher yisharsu bam, that you serve with it, or with them. Meaning, even though you're holding two kalim, how are you holding two kalim? So the Gemara is assuming, kli b'tzol kli, one within another. And the Torah refers to that as sherus, that is considered service. So, shnei kalim v'sherus achas, two kalim, one service. Essentially, the Gemara's answer is affirmative. It's considered sherus. Ba'min erami b'chama merav chiste inich siv v'soch ha-mizruch v'kibba bo zadam, ma'u. Question goes like this. Okay, in the past I've spilled your coffee before, so in advance I apologize if I do. So, but basically, imagine that this to be the klisharis, holding a cup in my hand, and what I do is as follows: I line the interior with a front, some sort of palm front. Okay, why would you do this? I have no earthly idea. There's no good reason why you want to do it. But anyway, I line the interior with palm front. Is that considered a chatzitza? Now, certainly it's min b'shein omino. That goes without saying. Essentially, the way Rashi understands it, the question goes as follows. even when I line the interior with palm fronds, there's going to be some allowance for the blood to get between the frond and the bowl. Look, the whole idea behind chatzitza is that you're preventing contact between the blood and the bowl. But even if I line the interior with palm fronds, one could make the argument that blood, a thick liquid, it has a thick viscosity, so therefore it doesn't allow to get contact with the interior of the kli. Or maybe the Gemara says, no, maybe it's enough. Meaning whatever contact it does make is considered enough. That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara says it's holy. Holy over here, I mean that H-O-L-E. Well, not H-O-L-Y. Okay, it's mechalchel, meaning there's going to be nooks and crevices, it's porous. There are going to be areas for the blood to be able to hit the wall. Oh, dim aloshna, or maybe no. Not, meaning, I don't know if the Gemara is asking a question, but see, I think the Gemara is just simply asking, is that not enough? Meaning, do I need full exposure between the blood and the interior of the clay? Amale tanina. So to this, the Gemara says, I know the answer based on a Mishnah in Para. By the end of the Masechta, we will, I don't know how many Mishnayos in Para we've covered, but we've covered a number of them. So the Mishnah over here discusses the following scenario. Rashi over here gives us an introduction in terms of this Mishnah in Para. Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Amikash b'shokas. I'm reading Rashi, Zolev Aholech. Amikash b'shokas v'yasofeg v'yaspug l'socho. I take the, right, Mayim Chaim. I got to collect spring water, natural spring water. One of the two main ingredients of the paraduma. I need Mayim Chaim and I need the of Efer HaPara, the ashes of the paraduma. But right now I'm collecting the Mayim Chaim. The Mayim Chaim has to be collected in a kli, in a vessel. In this particular vessel, it's an interesting vessel, it's a shokas, right, a trow. And in this trow there's a sponge. Okay, what's it doing there? Not really relevant, meaning who cares, it's there. So, mayim shebisfug psulim. Now, any water that was absorbed in the sponge is going to be disqualified because that's not el kli. It's not considered el kli. So, what do? Ketzad yaseh. So, the Mishnah part goes on to describe. Zolev aholechad shemagil esfug. So, what you basically do is you scoop out all the water that's outside of the sponge, meaning all the water that's in the trough, and any water that's left in the sponge, just leave it. In other words, the water outside of the water in the sponge is all fine. It all qualifies as Mayim Chaim El Kelly. It's fine. And then Rashi goes on to define what's the Shokas, and anyway, but and what's the term Zolev. But basically, that's the background information. That's the Mishnah and Parah. What do you see from the Mishnah and Parah? Let's go back to the Gemara. So, Tanina. Zolev HaHalachat Shemagil Esfog. So, what do you see? That even though there's a sponge in the trough, and even though the sponge is, you could say that it's preventing the water from touching the kli, but we don't say that. Meaning all the water outside of the water that was absorbed in the sponge is going to be fine. So, doesn't that reflect to the idea that even if there are palm fronds within the kli, the blood can circulate around in the bowl and get around the palm fronds and hit the side, and it wouldn't be fine? So the Gemara says, I don't know if they're the same. Shani Maya, the cliche. So the Gemara says, yeah, but water does not have a thick viscosity as blood does. Water will have no problem circumnavigating the sponge and basically hitting the interior of the kli. Masha Einkin, we're talking about blood in a bowl, and I'm lining the interior of the bowl with palm fronds, maybe because of the thick nature of blood, maybe the blood won't be able to gain access to the interior of the kli. Another version of how this discussion ended is that in the case of blood, it's fine. Why? Because blood's a liquid. But let's say I did the same thing with kamitsa, meaning, same question. Remember, by kamitsa, it's a fistful of the flour that I take off the mincha, and I have to put into another kli sharis. Let's say in that second kli sharis, I lined it with palm fronds. So here we're talking about a solid. We're talking about a stick of a handful of a flour mixed together with oil. It's not going to penetrate. It's not going to navigate around the palm fronds. It didn't make contact with the interior of the kli sharis, and that's not going to be good. And just the opposite. It's puzzle. It's disqualified. Okay. That's how the Gemara ends the discussion. Adkan. We're now up to the Mishnah Nun Ches Amud Beis, and we continue. And what are we going to be discussing now? The sprinkling of the Mizbeach HaZahav. So again, our Kohen has gone into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, sprinkled twice, once with the Dam HaPar, and then the second time with the Dam HaSeir. He's gone out into the Heichal, facing the Parochus, again sprinkled twice, one with the Dam HaPar, one with the Dam HaSeir. He's now going to move to the Mizbeach HaZahav. He's going to go to the east side of the Mizbeach HaZahav, Machlokus, which we're going to see in the Mishnah, which corner? Northeast or southeast? We'll see that in just a moment. But he's going to go to the east side of the Mizbeach HaZahav and do applications. What kind of applications is he going to do? So he's going to do four and then another seven. Take a look at the Pasuk in the Chumash I'm reading. The Yatzal Mizbeach Asher Lifnei Hashem. He goes to the Mizbeach which is Lifnei Hashem. Again, that's a reference to the Mizbeach HaZahav. And V'chiper Alav V'lakach Midam HaPar Midam HaSir V'nasana Karnos Mizbeach Saviv. So first the Torah says that he goes around the Mizbeach HaZahav. V'yizalav min adam be'etzbo sheva pa'amim v'tiharo v'kidusho. And then he does seven blood applications. So it's four plus seven. V'tumas b'nei Yisrael. Okay. Now, there are going to be basically a number of debates that we're going to see over the course of the Mishnah and the Gemara. Number one, just introducing, and then we'll see it inside. Number one, where does he start from? Which corner does he start from? Okay, we'll see that's a debate, and we'll see exactly what the issue is. Number two, does he walk around the Mizbeach HaZahav? Now, when in the Mizbeach HaChitzon, whenever you're doing a regular Chatzos by the Mizbeach HaChitzon, so a Chatzos requires an application in all four corners. So we know that he walks around. But quite frankly, he has to. It's a large area. Right? What's the dimensions of the Adam Mizbeach? Is at its widest, it's 32 by 32 amas. And as you move to the top, it's 28 by 28, if I remember correctly. But 28 amas, I mean, that's big, right? That's somewhere in the ballpark of 56 feet. So right, going from end to end. So 56 feet. Obviously, in order to hit all four corners, you got to walk all the way around. But now let's go to the Mizbeach HaZahav. Mizbeach HaZahav is not big. In fact, in terms of area, it's one amah by one amah. So one amah by one amah, so that's 2 feet. So the Kohen could, in theory, stand in one spot and hit all four corners without having to walk around. So another basic machlokes, which we're going to see over the course of today and tomorrow, is that does he need to walk around the Mizbeach HaZahav, or would it be okay if he just simply dabbed in all four corners? Another machlokes we're going to see over the course of today and tomorrow. Okay, let's see all this inside. We start with a Mishnah. He goes to Mizbeach HaShel Lifnei Hashem, Zeh Mizbeach HaZahav, and the Mishnah spells it out. That's the golden Mizbeach. Hischa Mechate V'yored. The Mishnah uses an interesting language. Mechate. So Rashi says the word Mechate means to go down. The blood application is one in which he goes down. Mehechan Hu Mascha Mikarim Mizrach Tzfonis. So where does he start? He starts in the northeast. Okay, I'll give you a good way to remember it. It's like all of us in this room. Or most of us in this room. Okay, start in the northeast. Tzfonis Maravis. Now, you always go counterclockwise, right? That is the direction. And the reason why you go counterclockwise, as the Gemara is going to explain at the end of today's daf, is because you always make a right turn. Now, granted, that first right turn is going to then force you to make a whole bunch of lefts. Okay, understood. But in other words, whenever you approach something, so you have to make a right. Now, your first move is going to be a right. So that means anytime I approach something, I'm going to make a right turn, and then I'm going to follow it around, so I'm always going to go in a counterclockwise motion because of that first right-hand turn. So, Hizcha Mechatev Yared, sorry. Mehechnu Maschel Mekeren Mizrach Tzfonis, so he goes, starts in the northeast. Tzfonis Marav is, he then goes to the northwest. Marav is Drom is southwest, Drom is Mizrach is southeast. Okay, so again, the easy way for us to remember is we start in the northeast and we all ended up in the southeast. Malkum Shu Maschel Bechata She'al Mizbech HaChitzon. Now, ironically, notes the Mishnah, it's the place where he begins a chatas in the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Meaning, had this been a quote-unquote regular carbon chatas, that would have been applied, the blood would have been applied to the outer Mizbeach. So he starts in the southeast. And here, when it comes to the sprinkling of the blood of the bull and the goat, which are mixed together, in the Mizbeach HaZahav, he finishes in the southeast. And the Mishnah just simply says, it's just don't get confused between the two. Mishama Yagomer al Mizbech HaPanimi. That's where he would finish in the Mizbech HaPanimi. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. Rabbi Eliezer says, Bimkom Mahaya Omed. So first of all, Rabbi Eliezer says, he stands in one spot. Umechate, and he would be mechate. Again, the blood application. Ve'akulana, you know, say, melamata lemala. Now, generally speaking, he would go in an upward motion, meaning with the application starting down, moving its way up. Chutz mizu, except for the one that he was right next to, shai salafanav, shai nosim malamal lamata, there you go, up in a downward motion. I'll explain that better in just a moment, just to go through a little bit more of the Mishnah, and then I'll come back, I'll explain it. He's al tirash ha-mizbech sheva pamim, and then you hit the top of the mizbech, and you do seven sprinklings on the top of the mizbech. V'shayar adam ha-yishofech ha-yisun ma'arav yishol mizbech ha-chitzon. And then there's shirayim. And then whatever blood is left over, what do I do with whatever blood is left over? Says the Mishnah, that is poured onto the Mizbech HaChitzon. In other words, you walk it out to the Mizbech HaChitzon and you pour it. Where? On the western side, on the western base of the Mizbech HaChitzon. You see over here on Mizbech outside, it has two yesod, two foundations. There's no foundation running along the east side, there's no foundation running along the south side. Now, the south side, you have a bit of a problem because you have the kevesh, you have the ramp, but truth of the matter is that the Gemara elsewhere says that there's no yisod on the south and the east. That has to do with a border issue, the border between Binyamin and Yehuda. Okay, but anyway, now for now, the blood of the bull and goat that are mixed together is poured on the west yisod of the mizbech. V'shal mizbech achitzon, and the Gemara points out in contradistinction to a regular carbon chatas, hayishofech hayisod dromi. Where there it gets poured on the south side of the Mizbeach, tomorrow's daf will explain why the difference. Elav elam esarvim ba'amah v'yotzal l'nach l'kidron, the fate of both bloods really happen, are the same. And that is, there's a canal running through the Azara. The picture over here doesn't have where the canal exactly runs, so I don't know with any type of precision, but there's a canal running through the Azara, and basically what happens to these bloods that are poured onto the foundation? They're not absorbed into the ground. I mean, the Mizbech itself is made of stone, but rather there's a canal running through the Azara, and basically it's a sewage system. It creates a drainage of all the blood that's being poured in the Mizbech, in the Azara, onto the foundation, and it runs out of the Azara. And what do they do with blood in the good old days? Blood that was used, made for great fertilizer. Blood had excellent nutrients and was used for fertilization. V'nimkarim leganim lezevel. And so therefore, it was sold to the farmers as zevel, basically as fertilizer. U'mo'alim behem. And then the Mishnah ends off by saying, and but truth of the matter is that they can't use it until they actually pay for it. Prior to them paying for it, it's subject to the prohibition of Mi'ilah. Okay, those points in the Mishnah we'll come back to later on. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, the first thing our Gemara is going to be discussing is exact location. Look, when it comes to the Par Halam Davishal Seaboard, right, what the Gemara here refers to as par haba'a kol ha-mitzvos. So when it comes to the bull, we're not talking about the bull of Yom Kippur. We're talking about a bull of par helm davishol tzibor, where the blood is also going to be sprinkled inside the Beis HaMikdash. Not in the Kosher Kedashim, that's only for Yom Kippur, but in the Heichal, sprinkled seven times to the in the direction of the paroches. Then what? Yachol avzeh. So I might have thought, now where is he standing? He's standing immediately east of the paroches. So what does he have to do to see the Mizbech HaZahav? Just turn around. And now he's facing the Mizbech HaZahav. So Yachol avzeh ta'kein tamalam v'yatzal Mizbech. So no, the Torah says v'yatza. He goes out. Now what does that mean, he goes out? He's not leaving the Heichal, that's for sure. He's already inside the Heichal. He's facing the paroches. So the way the Gemara understands the words v'yatza is he leaves, meaning he leaves this area between the paroches and the mizbech. He goes outside, meaning to this side of the mizbech, the east side of the mizbech.
He goes back or turns it on?
Unclear. I assume he walks forward. I don't know if he has to, I don't know. Heichan haya lifnim in the mizbeach. So where was he? So he was interior of the mizbeach, which means that he's going to go now to the other side of the mizbeach. So that explains why he's going to the east side of the mizbeach. We've yet to explain northeast, southeast. That's coming up in just a moment. Tanya idach, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Lifnei Hashem, atam alamar, amar Rabbi Nechemi, lafisha matzina, bepar v'sir, shi yama kippurim, shikon omen lifnim, minim mizbeach. Same point, but now we're going to make it regarding the bull and the goat of Yom Kippur. He was standing interior, meaning between the mizbeach and the paroches, while sprinkling onto the paroches. Umazel aparoches, v'shashu umazel yochol av zeh kain. I might have thought now all he needs to do is just simply turn around and sprinkle in the direction of the Mizbeach, or not in the direction, but sprinkle on the Mizbeach, but while being on the west side of the Mizbeach, Tamalomer Mizbeach Toros Samim Lifnei Hashem, Asher Ba'ol Amod, Mizbeach Lifnei Hashem, Ve'in Kohen Lifnei Hashem. The Mizbeach is Lifnei Hashem, but the Kohen is not Lifnei Hashem, meaning the Mizbeach is separating him and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which means that he's going to be on the west side of the Mizbeach. HaKetzad Omed Chutz LeMizbeach Umazeh. He'll be on the exterior of the Mizbeach. Exterior meaning on the west side of the Mizbeach. Okay. I'm sorry.
East side of the Mizbeach. Oh. East side of the Mizbeach?
East side. Thank you. Correct. Right. You're correct. Right. Correction accepted. Okay, good. So Hizchel Mechate V'yarit Tanu Rabbanan Hizchel Mechate V'yarit Mehechan Hayamaschel. Okay, I didn't explain this in the Mishnah. I just want to, I glanced over this point, but it's an important point. And it explains downward motion, upward motion, what's the difference. So Rashi explains back in the Mishnah, I'll tell you what the issue is. First of all, again, as I point out in the Mishnah, the word Mechate means he goes and he puts it in a downward motion. Okay, if we could just imagine this table being the Mizbech HaZav. So he's going to hit all four corners. Now he's hitting the actual edge. Okay, now, when doing the blood, it's just a simple application. In other words, he's basically going to smear the blood along the edge. Down or up? So the Mishnah says down, in a downward motion. Now again, Rabbi Eliezer disagrees. I'll go over Shita Rabbi Eliezer a little bit later. But right now, downward motion. Why? So Rashi says very simple. You know why? Because if you do it in an upward motion, so that means then that your hand is going to end up like that. And you have blood on your fingers. And where's that blood going to go? It's going to hit your sleeve. Right, and you don't want your sleeve to get dirty. So therefore, Rashi explains back in the Mishnah, we want a downward motion so that your sleeve may get saved.
Is he doing 7 plus 1 on each corner?
No, on each corner he's doing one application, on each corner. And then 7 onto the top. It's 4 plus 7.
Why wasn't he so concerned about dirtying the sleeve when he was doing inside the...
With the sprinkling, and the sprinkling's a little bit easier, because with sprinkling it's just he's it's a flick. It's a flick of the wrist. So it's this way, it's this way, but he flicks. So there it's less of a concern. Here it's not a flick. Here it's a smear. So if he's smearing up, so then he's ending like that, and it's not, and he's not, in there's no flick. Yeah. So okay, that's the issue, says Rashi. And then Rabbi we'll go over Rabbi Eliezer a little bit later on. Tana Rabbanan, let's just do a little bit more for today. So here again we have a brisa. The brisa is going to sound very similar to our Mishnah, but with one subtle difference. Starting point. The brisa says, where does he start from? Southeast. Dromis Maravis, and again, everything's counterclockwise. Northeast, Maravis, Tzvonis, Mizrachis, Divri, Rabbi Akiva. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Akiva? The answer is no. Our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Akiva. Our Mishnah is going like next Tana. Rabbi Yossi Galila Omer Mikher Mizrachis Tzvonis, Tzvonis Maravis, Maravis, Dromis Mizrachis. Malkum Shir Rabbi Yossi Aglila Maschil, Sham Rabbi Akiva Posek. And then the Gemara just makes sure that we get the orientation. So where Rabbi Akiva began, that's where Rabbi Yossi Aglili ends. Malkum Shir Rabbi Akiva Maschil, Sham Rabbi Yossi Aglili Posek. And the place where Rabbi Akiva begins, that's where Rabbi Yossi Aglili ends.
How come Rabbi Yossi from Kavar Rabbi Akiva
is not right? How come our Mishnah is not going like Rabbi Akiva? That's a good question. I don't know. Okay, the Kule Alma Mia Bahu Karen de Paga Bereisha Lo Avid. So here's an obvious point. How, in other words, when he's walking to the Mizbeach, so which two corners is he going to be hitting first? Again, he's here and he's walking now in an eastern direction. So he's going to be hitting the two western corners. And look, there's a machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yossi Aglili in terms of whether it's northeast or southeast, but it's not northwest and it's not southwest. Why not? So the Gemara says, "Lo avin my time, Amar Shmuel, Amar Kra, the Yatzal Mizbeach, Ad Nafik Mikule Mizbeach." Okay, and basically, I mean, we already know the reason why. In other words, it's based on the pasuk that we saw earlier. It's the Viyatza. The Viyatza comes to tell us that he has to
farthest.
Right, he has to go exterior. In other words, he has to go long. Again, going along over here, it's an amah by an amah. It's not a major walk. But in other words, the yitzia means that he's in an interior space. He has to now be in an exterior space. So he has to go to this area. He has to go to the east side of the Mizbech HaZahav. Okay, we'll pause over here. Okay, tomorrow we'll pick up from this very point. And tomorrow we're going to start with an explanation of the machlokes between Rabbi Kiv and Rabbi Yossi Glili. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yossi Glili, like our Mishnah, he starts in the northeast and then makes a counterclockwise to get to the southeast. And according to Rabbi Akiva, he starts in the southeast and counterclockwise to get to the southwest. So tomorrow we'll discuss it. We'll start off with an explanation of what that machlokes is all about, and we'll move on to daf and tes. Learning we do this morning should be for an ilui nishmas shakri shlomo ben mashallah.